Hey everyone, it's Chris from FT After Hours, giving you a little intro for this podcast. This one's a little different, and we finally got Chad Capper back in studio, and we had a really good time with our usual suspects, Andre and Mike, joining us. And we also had special guest Steele Davis, all the way from Atlanta, joined us, and he's probably one of the top FPV pilots in the country right now. So we really appreciate him coming in, sitting down, joining us, telling his story, and see what's going on with him. But I did want to give you a heads up. He seemed to be a very busy guy. We had some really funny instances with some background noises going on throughout this podcast. We just left him in. Like I said, some of it's pretty funny, so I just wanted to give you a heads up with that. Also, I thought I'd get a little bit more creative, pulled everything, all the studio stuff out and put it in the main room here at FT, and went with the live periscope again, thought it would be a little bit more fun and the lighting and atmosphere would be better. I realized as we got going, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes in that I had one of the plugs wrong and you couldn't hear Andre or Steele. So I have to apologize for that. I was really upset and kind of mad at myself for that one. It was a dumb mistake. But lesson learned, definitely shouldn't happen again. So I apologize for that one. Also, I've been kicking around the idea. Andre and I chat a lot on the weekends, just a lot of bench flying and what's going on or what's, you know, happening around. And since winter's rolling up on us pretty quick here in Ohio, kicking around the idea, maybe it's kind of spur of the moment. You never know. We get some free time or the weather's really crappy. Just popping down in here, turning the mics on, just sitting down chatting and doing the live periscope so you guys could join us live. We could take some questions or something, maybe do some phone calls or something. Just different and put out a little bit more content. I know a lot of people have been wanting more content and longer podcasts, so hopefully we can do a little bit more of that now that the, unfortunately, because of the weather, is going to be crapping out here. So we'll see where that goes. It's not set in stone yet. You never know. Give us some feedback on that. I'd like to know what you guys think. So far, the periscope seems to be working pretty good when I have it right, and you guys have been enjoying that, so we'll try to continue that. Other than that, I think you guys are going to enjoy this podcast, so sit back, relax, and here we go. Hey, Chad Capper just started following me.
Just now.
Just now. What do you know?
I thought I was. I apologize. Oh, I can watch live.
All right.
We're such technological
geeks.
Oh,
Mike Finley's listening. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
All right. Here we go.
You're watching, I should say, on Periscope.
Hey, my head's chopped off.
Is it?
It's okay. They don't need to see my whole head. It's pretty big.
You can move.
I should tell Mike I don't have any ice cream.
All right. Here we go.
We're about to go live.
We're about to go.
Hey, I've been great.
I thought we were live. What the heck?
We're live on Periscope.
Oh.
But the people on the Periscope can't hear Steele, can they?
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
And Andre.
Boom! That's crazy.
Yes. We got it hooked up, buddy. We are in.
Mike, I love your laugh. Yeah.
All right, here we go. I hear some feedback going on there.
Yeah, somebody needs to turn down the volume.
Yeah, we're all turned down.
Hey, great to see you guys as well.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Here we are, another episode of FT After Hours. Man, I'm excited. We got people in the studio. We are live Periscope here. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited. I got a gentleman in here that I don't get to see very often anymore, and I get a lot of questions about. And joining us today is the one and only Chad Capper.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chad. I appreciate you coming in. I know today's kind of a little busy day for you.
Yeah, we have a Rotor DR1 thing going in about 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yes. I also have Mike Coolins. I dragged him out of the tree stand today. I don't know how. And joining us on the line, we have Andre Russo, our usual crazy Canadian. And another special guest joining us today is Steele Davis. I would say he's probably one of the top FPV pilots out there.
I would say he's the number one freestylist, definitely.
I was thinking you have Sharpoo on the West Coast and Mr. Davis here on the East Coast. It's almost like right. They're dueling, kind of. I don't know. But yeah. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Thanks for joining us today.
Cool, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes. First of all, I got to get this out here, Chad, because believe it or not, I get a lot of email about you. Why? I don't know why I get it, but a lot of people want to know. I get, hey, where's Chad? What happened to Chad? We don't see Chad. We don't hear from. I don't. Normally, I don't even answer, or I say, well, it's a long story. Maybe sometime we'll sit down one day and we'll really get into it when the time is right, or whatever. So just let everybody know what's going on. Where have you been? What's happening?
Well, I think, if people follow my Facebook, they'll be able to see some of what I'm doing. But over the summer, my wife and I built a patio. Mm-hmm. So
and I was going to say, there's a little water added into that patio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a pool next to it now.
Disney World for me.
Then. Yeah, Mike came over every day the pool was open.
I was so sore the next day. Oh my gosh.
I think you did. Your son even get to swim?
No. He was sick that day, I think.
Yeah. Well, no. So on the personal side, that's what's been going on. But over the summer, I've been really just spending a lot of time. I mean, aside from getting Rotor DR1 finished up, the post production process and getting distribution was a lot of work and some travel involved. And then we have just really exploring the drone race circuit, mm-hmm. and kind of understanding that and high performance drones in general.
Mm-hmm.
I just, ever since we did the drone race in Rotor DR1,
right.
it really piqued my interest and I wanted to learn more about it. And so I spent a lot of time, checking that out and looking around and trying to figure out where the industry is going, what it's going to be doing. And the path led me to the most recent event, which was with Scott Refslin and a bunch of really great pilots. We all went to Hawaii to scout for the 2016 Drone Worlds event, which I'm really excited about. I think that's just going to be a massive multinational event.
Why Hawaii? I mean, how did that come
up? Scott is a man of vision, mm-hmm. and he got really excited from, all the activity and what happened from Drone Nationals, which was in Sacramento over the summer. And he said, let's go bigger. Let's make this an international thing.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you go for an international event that's epic? Well, Jurassic Park. So that was kind of the thought process there, to best of my understanding. And I think he's going to do something really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited. I hope I can be a part of it in some way.
Right.
In the meantime, there's this show that I've been. I've been wanting to focus some content and a show in the advanced world, and specifically advanced multi-rotors. So mm-hmm. high-end, high-performance, top gear for multi-rotors.
In case a lot of people don't know, you've been actually traveling around the world for this.
Yeah.
Like, you were over in Europe for a while.
I was in Austria, Italy. I don't even remember wherever all the places I went. But mm-hmm. just really kind of traveling around, seeing what was going on, meeting different people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real low key. It wasn't like I was announcing that I was going anywhere. I just kind of show up and meet people, and it was great, and I end up running into a lot of people I knew through flight test.
Uh-huh.
And even went out to the InterDrone conference in Vegas, and I couldn't believe how many commercial drone companies involve people from the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like half the conference was hobby people.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. And so it's been, my head's spinning.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Andre, are you clicking on the keyboard?
No, sir.
Oh, somebody's clicking on the keyboard and I hear this click, 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 click.
Steele, he's posting another video.
Oh, gotcha.
No. Nope.
Have you just been picking up like little bits of pieces from all the different events you've been at, like, hey, this works, and then you go see another one, like, oh, they're doing this week, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, racing is a hot topic right now, and everybody's really excited about racing. Mm-hmm. And I have to embarrassingly admit, I don't think I've watched any full race all the way through.
Uh-huh.
So it's not personally my cup of tea, racing itself,
right?
But high performance, it's kind of like, I don't know, I suppose if you bought the new Corvette, like, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to go race,
yeah,
but you do appreciate the performance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think that's more my interest. So I'm trying to find out where that's going. And Steel was the one that really kind of shined a light in an area that, I don't want to say I didn't know exist, but I didn't know existed at that level. And mm-hmm. when we were in Hawaii, he got out there and decided to show off and, you know, stand in the middle of this complex tree and thread the needle.
I see that.
You know, and it moved in ways that I couldn't believe a human being could get the machine to move.
Uh-huh.
So when I saw that, boy, the wheels started turning. And then Chad Nowak comes out and, I mean, he's just, you know, tearing up, you know, all these locations. And, you know, so, and then Sharpu got there, I think it was a day later, or I don't even remember. And man, I mean, they just each have their own style.
Yeah.
And it's art to mm-hmm. me, you know. I think, being able to watch that, it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I don't know exactly where it's going, but I think, you know, started talking to the different pilots, Steel and Chad mm-hmm. Nowak and Tommy and Sharpu, and started saying, you know, what can we do? You know, let's maybe explore this and see if there, you know, is a part of the community that wants this kind of content that's focused on high performance multi-rotors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at. We're like in real time, like we're right in the development process, and we're planning on, in a week or two, going to Los Angeles and getting five of us together
uh-huh.
and start shooting and making some content.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow. Steel, I was curious, was it, when you went to Hawaii, was that some of your first time meeting the other FPV pilots?
Mike's going to fix the camera and the okay. Periscope. It's pointing down. It's chopping all of our heads off.
It must have slid down. That's
what the duct tape isn't holding.
Yeah. If you'd seen our setup here in the studio, you'd probably laugh at us. But
there we go. You got it, Mike. So I'm sorry. Go ahead and ask that again. What'd you ask?
I was just asking Steele if that was some of the first time he met a lot of those other FPV pilots there in Hawaii.
No, I met a lot of them at Drone Nationals. So,
oh, okay.
I think I know I met Sharpu, Tommy, Chad, and pretty much everyone except Kent. Kent was the first one, which is I'm on fire 666, the guy that is super fast in Europe, Dutch
mm-hmm.
guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't.
My question is, though, you probably got more, I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but you got more freestyle time probably in Hawaii to just goof around, tinker around. I watched some of your videos actually last night. But are you learning stuff off of each other, you know, finding different things that, or whether it be in the builds and also the flying that you're doing, you know, feeding off of each other and learning things?
Yeah, I mean, all of us have our own take on it because we're all kind of from all over the world. So mm-hmm. we have to take our own build techniques and our own styles and perfect them to our specifications. And then I guess when you get together with other people that are like-minded but have looked at it from a different angle, it's like, all right, well, why did you do that? And
yeah, right.
How did you do that? So
right. Take it though. Pretty much everything's pretty similar though with the builds and everything. Just the little things, I'm guessing, that you're finding out. You know, like you said, it's each individual is a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has their own way of, like, I modify a lot of my frames to like this certain way I mount my video transmitter antenna.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of make it low profile against the top plate and. Not very many people do that. Most people run the SMA through the top plate and have the antenna sticking off the top. So mm-hmm. you kind of gain an extra 3 inches of just thing sticking off the top that can clip things if you're trying to go through small holes.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that wasn't the original reason I did that, but it kind of helped later in life when I started shooting through tinier and tinier holes. It's like, all right, well, now I'm lower profile, and the only real thing I have to worry about is the quad's physical profile going through the hole instead of this appendage sticking off, like ready to clip all the trees.
Right. Hey, I think real quick what I want to do is, if you don't mind, I'd like you to tell everybody listening a little bit about yourself, because I watched your bio last night, and I was completely blown away that you've actually only been flying, was it a little over a year now?
Yeah.
So just you know, how you got started. I see you went like right from the toy helicopters right to the real thing, and you were talking about how you haven't had many crashes. I mean, I was blown away by it. So just let everybody know how you got started and you know.
All right. So Christmas of 2013, my grandmother bought me this like coaxial fixed pitch helicopter from Costco. Like every year, all the kids in the family get some kind of RC thing. So usually it's an RC boat or a car or something. But I guess last year helicopters were kind of more affordable. So all the grandchildren got those, and I immediately like was kind of intrigued by it because I'd never flown anything RC before. I mean, I'd done a little bit of RC cars in the past. I had some like nitro cars that I put ABS piping for tires and I would drift them, because I used to build physical cars. Like I had a 240SX that I had for 10 years that I put like $30,000 into that. Wow. I bought for $800. So
wow.
That tells you like how much money I spent in time and blood and tears. So I got that coaxial helicopter, and by like, I don't know, the next day — we do this on Christmas Eve, so Christmas Day I was like already bored with it and I wanted something better. So I got a Amazon fixed pitch, like 4-channel with a motor driven tail rotor.
Mm-hmm.
That came in the mail a couple days later, and about a week after that, I was like mastered that thing. And then I bought an Align 450 T-Rex helicopter off of Craigslist from a dude that, like, a lot of people buy the collective pitch helicopters.
Wait,
and never fly them.
When was this? When did you buy that?
That was like January 10th or something like that.
Just this past January?
2014.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's still, man.
Yeah, that's what blew me away. You go from a coaxial to a regular, you know, collective pitch heli. That's tough. I went there, and it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, well, a buddy of mine, like, after Christmas showed me a video. There's a guy called Smarter Every Day. His name's Destin. I don't know if you guys have ever seen his channel.
Yeah, actually, I met him out at VidCon a couple years ago.
I like his channel a lot, and there's a helicopter series that he has that just basically explains how helicopters work and how collective pitch works. And I don't know, it just really intrigued me. A buddy of mine, Luke, turned me onto that channel, and I basically studied everything I could about helicopters and how they worked.
Wow.
From that point on. And that's how I went from like a week of coaxial to a night of coaxial to fixed pitch. And then a week later having a collective pitch. I didn't fly it for about a week after that because I wanted to research more and more and watch more videos to understand how it worked.
Did you go on to a simulator or anything?
No. So I got the Align 450, crazy. And I built these little X brace things on the bottom of it, and like kind of like stabilization, because it's pretty small. A lot. If anybody's ever flown a 450, it's super tiny and super mm-hmm. twitchy. So I put these huge X things underneath it they were made of wood dowels and ping pong balls, kind of like a better version of what you can buy, I guess. It was super wide, so there's very little chance for it to flip over. And I basically set up a mode where zero throttle was zero motor speed and zero pitch, and then I would ramp up. It was similar to a multirotor. And I picked it up off the ground a couple times. It's super intimidating. You got like 3,000 RPM of carbon fiber spinning in front of you, and you don't understand nose in or side in yet. You only understand the orientation from tail in. So you're like, if it turns 10 degrees, I'm going to explode.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I did that for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and started flying pretty aggressive sport flying, just like inverted hovers and stuff, like 50, 60 feet off the ground. And then I realized that you can't auto-rotate a 450 very well, and that was the whole reason I wanted to fly heli was to do, like, inverted autos and crazy auto-rotations, because I, for some reason, think that's, like, the coolest thing in the world. So I bought a Gowie X5 about a month after that, so, like, early February. And, yeah, built that, flew that for a while. And by, like, March 2nd, which is my birthday, I was kind of bored with it. I was realizing that I hadn't crashed yet, and I was going to crash eventually.
Yeah, I never crash.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's scary. You got, like, $1,400 flying around. Maybe not that much, but with the battery and stuff, it's like, it's a lot of money, and they don't exactly crash like a quad.
Right, exactly.
Break $3 worth of props.
Right.
You break booms, you break, like, the blades themselves are $60 to $100
right.
for the 500 series, so.
Right. Yeah, and you spend, you know, a week rebuilding the head and then tuning it, and I've been there and just hated it.
Never flies right.
Yeah. Are they getting some sound now, Chad?
Yeah, I think some of the people can't hear steel very well.
Me?
Yeah.
I can put the mic in my mouth.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
You're okay.
I think it's on our end. But just for people's sake of mine, we are getting it recorded, so it will be on the podcast.
Yeah.
So
the headphone volume on the tablet was way down, so I turned it all the way up.
Oh, I see.
So they should be able to hear him better now through Periscope.
Cool.
So That's just crazy, Steel. I don't think I've ever heard that kind of story where somebody just goes right like that, right in the regular helis, you know, not crashing and not, you know, having no simulator time, you know.
Yeah.
So then did you just start to see the racing quads or the multi-rotors on YouTube? I mean, where did you get, like, okay, now I'm going to go from helicopters, I want to get into the quad stuff or the racing stuff?
Yeah, so it kind of moved quickly. Obviously, the original, me getting into RC moved quickly, but the racing and FPV stuff moved quickly too. So as I was watching videos on YouTube, researching about collective pitch helis and understanding that I needed to change my whole theory of flight because I was used to flying with thumbs, and I kind of adopted a pinch method because I felt like it was more precise for like 3D helis. So that's the whole reason I started pinching. And a lot of people are like, against pinching for some reason with quads. They're like, oh, it's stupid, it doesn't work. I'm like, all right, well, it works for me. So it's their own way of doing things. So, but I feel like pinching, even though it's really hard to learn if you've been flying thumbs for a long time, I mean, it took me 2 weeks to like get used to it, and I had only been flying for like maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks. So I hadn't really made a habit of it yet.
Yeah, and you're right there. I think I've heard that before. A lot of the top 3D pilots around, you know, they're all pinchers. Most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. And everyone I've talked to always said you can be more precise with the pinching. And I've tried it. I've been doing the thumb thing for, I think, way too long. And I tried to go to pinching. And I tried for about a week. I gave up on it. I just couldn't do it. I'm like, forget it. That just isn't for me. But, yeah, I think you're right on the pinching thing. You're a pincher, aren't you,
yep.
Chad?
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
I think David is too.
David is? Yeah. Yeah. I can't do it. It's almost, you know, like I, you know, skied for years and tried snowboarding and said,
David kind of does it weird though. He does this thing where it's like makes like C, I don't know how to explain it, but the way my fingers don't even bend that far.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen it, yeah.
But it works for him.
Right.
So.
Right. So, okay, so finally you get into the multi-rotor stuff and again, is it just, you know, research, you know, if you're like me, I'm on YouTube watching videos all the time and on blogs and like RC groups or the flight test forums, you know, trying to dig for information and find things and just go from there. You find, what was your first, you know, real quad that you put together?
All right. So it's kind of intimidating sounding, but I stumbled across a Team Black Sheep video and was enthralled by everything that Trappy and those guys do. So I was immediately drawn towards the Renegade style of FPV. I don't know why, but it just, I'm a skateboarder from, I mean, I did that for 12 years of my life and I still kind of skate occasionally, but I don't know, I've gotten to a point in my life where I like low impact sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I rock climb instead now. I've been doing that for like 3 or 4 years. It's still mentally challenging and physically challenging, but there's a lot less likely of a chance for you to actually get hurt rock climbing instead of like skating. You walk outside and ollie down a four stair and roll your ankle and break your legs.
Right, exactly.
So, so I got a Discovery Pro. That was my first air multi-rotor.
You went just all out.
That was a daunting task because I had never built a multi-rotor before. I kind of really didn't understand how they worked because it was fixed pitch and RPM control was your actual throttle instead of collective pitch control.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, this is like a plane kind of, but it has four of these things and they all spin in weird directions. And they have these weird boot up sequences and this stupid Simon K weird firmware that does things that I don't know what it does. And it's like, what the heck's going on? So I spent, it took me 2 weeks to build that thing based, like I'd go downstairs and work. And this is, I wasn't in school. I worked at REI, which was a, I don't know if you guys
outdoor
know what that
sports
is,
but, place. REI. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's yep, a, that's
recreational
a
recreational
nice,
incorporated.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's a nice place.
So I was an outdoor school instructor there. So I taught rock climbing and kayaking and I don't know, hiking, geocaching, whatever. So I did that for a while. So I was doing all this, and that's on the weekends only. I mean, it's literally like Friday through Sunday, 12-hour days. But during the week, you're free.
And your diet is pretty strict too. You eat like grass and cheese.
I do. No cheese, just grass.
Oh, that's
just
right. Grass. Yeah, just grass.
Yes. Yeah, I'm pescatarian. I eat fish occasionally if I have to because it makes traveling easier, but I'm mostly vegetarian.
Okay.
I don't know why that was relevant, but I kind of live on the healthy side of things.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so Discovery Pro, built that, flew it in the yard with a NASA on it, immediately hated the NASA. And I didn't even know really what things were supposed to fly like, but I came from a heli world and things bank and actually coordinated turn correctly. So I had the Discovery Pro and I put it on the back burner and went and like stumbled across a Boris B video and was just like, take my money now. So I called Sean at GetFPV and kind of befriended him. And he basically kind of told me a lot of the things that I extrapolated on and to like basically have knowledge on today. Like he would tell me what flight controller to get and what motors to get and why they were good. And this was like right when the blackout was going to 3S.
Okay.
Which was, I don't know, I'd say I got into my blackout. I probably got it in April or May of 2014 is right when I got it. And I have the maiden flight on my YouTube channel. Like I had never flown an FPV before. Uh-huh. I had walked outside and flown at line of sight, but I had never flown FPV. So I like put a Mobius on it and walked outside and was like, all right, I know how to play video games. I grew up doing like MLG Halo 2. So I know how to play video games, but I have never done this in real life. So did it and I didn't crash, but I posted the video on YouTube, which is, I don't know, very ridiculous to watch now, but it's kind of crazy to see how far it's gone.
If you don't mind, talk about your greatest crash. We've had some people ask on our on the Periscope when they want to hear crash stories.
Okay. Greatest crash. Most of my greatest quote unquote crashes are probably inflicted by other people with quads that have hit me. Not necessarily me crashing, but like the worst crashes I've ever had are head-ons with, like, I have this a couple buddies that
fault.
I mean I'm just ripping balls and I get hit. I don't know what happened. Maybe I hit them.
Well, that's their story too. They're like, I was just ripping balls and I got hit.
Well, I think the loser is the one that comes out with the most damage, and I'm always the one that comes out with the most damage. So it was always the other guy's fault. It's like the big truck that hits the Prius, but it's the truck's fault
because
the
bigger.
Prius got totaled. Yeah.
that's good logic. So
I mean, they're coming out less money, so it's their fault. They can live with the guilt.
Gotcha. So you've had some head-ons of, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do a head-on if I tried.
Oh, yeah, you'd be like, oh, let's fly in this field. Head on immediately. I was like, what the heck? But, yeah, I mean, I've had at least five like full speed head-ons in the last 6 months. Oh my gosh,
how much do you have to fly to have 5? That's crazy.
I mean, it happens way more than you would think, and getting close is even, I mean, almost every day I fly, it's like, holy crap, we just passed at Mach 9. for some reason, every hole you go through, you pick the middle of the hole, and everyone's always picking the middle of the hole. It's always like everyone has a similar mindset on altitude to go through things. So you're consistently in the very center, like bullseye point of every hole you go through. So
oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
If you're just going through holes. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, and of course you're wearing FPV gear at the time, so all you see afterwards is just sky, ground, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see the quads. I mean, but when you're doing 60 miles an hour head on, you don't see them until there's about a tenth of a second
right
before you hit.
Right. Yeah, so. And also for everybody listening, if you want to check it out on YouTube, it's Mr. Steele on is his YouTube channel, and I was browsing through some of your videos last night, and I'll have to say the one that's called The Next Step, that is phenomenal. I mean absolutely phenomenal. That's some footage I don't think I've seen anybody really do, you know, with a small FPV quad like that. What was that building, or where were you flying at for that video?
Specifically, what was the GPS coordinates?
Yes.
I'm kidding.
I mean, I can give it to you. it's actually – so the F3 Expo, which is the event that is kind of like – some people came to me with some money basically and said, do you have an idea for a drone expo? And I was like, sure. So the F3 Expo is kind of like – I mean – it was a brainchild of mine that I involved a lot of the people that I thought could get it done, and then I let them run with it. So I kind of was like the initial fire starter for it,
mm-hmm.
and then I told everybody which direction to go, and now it's kind of just self-sustaining. Like, I don't have to do much. I'm just promoting for it now instead of constantly being involved, because it's a very in-depth process involving or getting something like that to work. And And I don't know, I don't have the time for that with the schedule that I have right now. I mean, traveling and doing all these weird FPV extravaganza things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that building is actually the same building that the company that is funding F3 Expo, they're within that building complex.
Oh, okay.
So we go there all the time to meet and like talk about F3 Expo, and then and they're always like, you should fly here. We're like, I don't know if that's okay. So one day we're just like, all right, we're going to fly here. And we flew there like midday in a weekday, which is, it's kind of like one of these building complexes where you come to work and you don't have to leave until you want to sleep again, because there's every single amenity that you could possibly think of. There's gyms, there's daycares, there's places to buy clothing. There's like all the stuff. There's food everywhere. There's food trucks that come in, so you don't even have to leave. So there's people like mingling at all times.
Wow.
So we flew there like midday one day, and everyone was like, oh, that's cool. And then they'd just hide in the corner and watch it. Then no one was like really scared for, I mean, scared in a sense that they were ready to police it or something, uh-huh. but they were intrigued by the idea of what we were doing.
Wow.
So we came back on a Saturday, and we were there for, I don't know, 5 hours or something. And it was I call it the Atlanta crew. We have 5 dudes that we, you know, one of them's from South Carolina, which is the Phil Freybot guy. He's on Immersion RC. Very phenomenal pilot. He does a lot of different perspectives on things. And then Schizo, which is John Davis and Stinger Swarm, Kevin Daughtry, and me, and then a guy named Chris Brand. And we just have this little group that we get together occasionally and fly locations. And that's kind of what happened that day. We just went and flew from 3 in the afternoon until like 10 at night. We flew this parking garage. I have another video on there that I actually released before that video that's in the parking garage from the same day.
Oh, okay. So, is it called Within Your Boundaries?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, watch that one too. That was great. All right, my next question is then, what was it, just from some of your YouTube videos or word of mouth? When did the sponsorship stuff start coming in?
So in this hobby, sponsorship doesn't really mean like sponsorship. I mean, when you think sponsorship, it's like, oh my God, he gets everything for free and people fly him all these places and he gets to do all these things.
Right.
I mean, to an extent, it's kind of like that, but in reality, it's more of like a bragging right thing, uh-huh. I think. I mean, more so in the sense that I pay for 99% of everything that I've ever used for multirotors.
Oh, no kidding.
The stuff that I've gotten for free has been like either, hey, do you want to test this? And I'm like, sure, because I get free stuff. And then it doesn't work. And then I'm like pissed because I spent 3 days trying to make it work and it didn't work. And now I'm back to where I started, but I wasted 3 days. Hmm. So, but I mean, I can get things that I need, I know that work. Like, I mean, from Cobra, the 2204, 2300 kV motors, I get those from them. And I have gotten a lot of them, and not because I break them or they break. It's just you buy a motor and you fly it for X amount of times and you get a new aircraft and you put new motors on the new aircraft because there's no reason to put old ones on them when you're getting them for free. So,
right.
So, yeah, I mean, I have like probably 10 aircraft downstairs that are just hanging out that have either older motors on them or something like that, but
I have 10 aircraft downstairs.
But yeah. Initially though, was it just from your YouTube videos or maybe some people that were flying with you? I mean, where did it start though? Where did somebody go, hey, here's a frame or here's some motors, or how did it start?
It started with me approaching companies because I'm a big advocate, and this is in like everything in life. If you want to represent something or you want to use a piece of equipment, you need to love the piece of equipment, not just, you don't need to fly it or use it because someone else gives it to you. So like when I got sponsored, my first sponsor, I think it had a lot to do with me working at Atlanta Hobby. And it was kind of like, oh, well, he already works there and he already gets dealer pricing. So he must be like kind of okay. Because I approached Cobra, and I was like, hey, you guys looking for team pilots? And they had like three or four, and I knew one of them, which was on Team Blackout. He kind of gave me something. He gave me some Blackout arms like early on, just randomly. I posted on RC groups and was like, hey, I just broke a 330 arm, and they're impossible to get, which has always been the case with buying anything from Blackout. But they were just really hard to get at the time because the 330 was so popular. I don't even know if you guys remember that. That was like decades ago, right? Like 8 months ago or something.
Yeah,
330 came out. but yeah, a guy named Sean Harlan, which is All Wheel Drive Quads online, he just sent me some. He's like, hey man, I'm on Team Blackout. I got a bunch of stuff just lying around. I don't really need it. And he sent it to me. And we started talking about random stuff. I noticed in a profile picture of his, he had a car that I had. And we just kind of hit it off. And he was my in with Cobra. So not only did I work at a hobby shop and kind of like had a little bit of an in there, but I also knew the team, quote unquote, captain of Cobra. And that got me into Cobra. And then TBS, Trappy like mentioned something on a comment on one of my videos of me flying over a train track. And he was like, this is really cool to see someone doing something other than flying in a park. And I was like, are you guys looking for team pilots? I know that's not something that originally would have been even like thought of. I mean, Team Black Sheep, I just picture these dudes that have their own little niche and they don't want anybody else to come in. And so I was like shooting in the dark, and he was like, hey, yeah, actually we are. So I was the first like team pilot for Team Black Sheep, which was kind of intense for me because that's what I started out doing FPV. Like that's what I started with. So it was really cool to do that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. The other question is, where do you think this is going? Where, as far as maybe, I almost see now that, you know, the drone racing thing is popping up, but watching, you know, some of your videos and stuff, I think the freestyle stuff, to me, I'm more intrigued by that.
Oh yeah.
You know, so where do you think, this is kind of going, or where would you like this to go down the road?
So I mean, drones in general are just massive right now in all facets of the world. Anyone that even understands what the internet is understands what a drone is, and they know what a Phantom is, but they don't may not know the name of it, but they know it's this white thing that comes at your house and watches you change. But so drone racing,
that should be DJI's new tagline.
Yeah.
The white thing that comes to your house
to watch you change. It's a little wordy, but it'll catch on.
You can hashtag it, people understand. But yeah, I think just drone racing is kind of something that people are drawn to because it's competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could take a tricycle and get a bunch of dudes together. Absolutely. And race down a hill and people would be like, oh, viral video.
Oh, yeah. Can we do that?
Yeah, Mike, that would be do done.
Yeah, I would try that.
Like the drift trikes. Do you guys know what those
oh,
are?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Like
no, one, but I mean, I will now.
We'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, that's like this New Zealand thing. People like strap PVC pipe to the back of a big tricycle and roll down a hill and drift basically the entire hill.
Yep.
That's sweet. I would do that.
Yeah, it's the same way with us in the motocross community. I mean, we the motocrossers don't even have to be on a track. There could be a field with one tree out there, and we're going to start going around the tree and see who can go the fastest and, you know.
Get as close.
Yeah, exactly. Bang it. Bars. It's just in the blood, you know. So, yeah I understand that.
I'm really curious. So, speaking of motocross, you can't look up race quads because then all you get is ATVs.
Oh, you do? I didn't even thought of that.
If you type race quad, that's all that comes up.
Oh.
So, I'm curious, Steele, what do you call it?
What do I call, like, racing? Or what do I call what I do?
Yeah, like, any of it. How do you refer to it? Racing, freestyle, what do you say? Like,
it depends on the context of who I'm talking to.
There
I'm
you
talking
go.
To a random person in the mall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I race drones. But if I'm talking to someone that understands, I mean, I think it's just implied. I don't even think there's a term for it.
You don't need to speak. Yeah. You just like look at them.
Yeah, you're like, this is it. This is the F1 version of everything you've ever thought of doing with a quad.
In the air.
Yeah, it would be kind of nice if we get rid of the drone racing. I wish there was something else we could kind of.
You know what? Just embrace it. It's not going away.
Yeah, you're right. So, it probably isn't. It's still
It's
hard.
Already gelled.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think there should be a new word.
I think so, too.
Well, we did invent a new word called goggies. That was
goggies.
Yeah.
You want to explain what that is?
Yeah,
Steve?
I want to hear what goggies are.
That's when you find someone mid Stephen Hawking pose while they're flying FPV and you take a picture of them.
Yeah, you take like a selfie with them. Yeah.
Oh, that is hilarious. And they have no idea.
And those are called goggies.
Oh, that
there
is
was,
hilarious.
Yes, you guys had a few of those while you were in Hawaii.
Oh, we had like a thousand
hilarious.
Of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's just hilarious because some people get – I mean, they just start making faces and they're completely not in their body,
I have one of Tim Nilsson and he looks like, I don't even know how to describe the look. And I don't know if he's still watching, but he was watching the,
you know, that's Periscope. Interesting. I was flying FPV around my house. This was a while back and my son got my, phone and was videotaping me.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, after I watched it, I was like, oh, this is bad. And I didn't even realize, like, I thought my head was up and, you know, I looked halfway. No,
you
I looked
like curled up in the fetal position,
like heads going. I was like, oh man, that was horrible. That is funny.
So I wanted to ask Steele publicly.
Uh-oh.
Public?
Yeah, about Rotor Riot.
That's a store, right?
We've had that's Publix. We've had a lot of conversations about Rotor Riot, and people have been asking about it. And, so we've had a lot of conversations, but I like the idea of transparency and, like, just dragging it on the table. And, Steele, I want to hear your perspective of Rotor Riot and what it is before I talk about it.
All right. So I grew up watching Top Gear. I don't know if that is something that
never heard
people
of
do. I don't know if that's something normal people do, but I'm born in 90 and that's way before my time, but it's just kind of something. It's like a show that you can watch. You don't even have to like cars to like it. You're just like, all right, that Jeremy Clarkson dude, he just kind of does things that you can laugh at regardless of what he's in. I mean, he could be in a Pinto or a Ferrari and you're like, all right, I just want to see this guy talk about whatever he's in. I don't really care what it is. So similar, I think we're going to try to grasp that kind of concept where people just want to watch it because of the personalities. So like Chad Nowak and I are just kind of like these weird, we're not really polar opposites, but we're people that came from two different
geographically you are.
Yeah, we are literally polar opposites. His toilet spin clockwise and mine don't. I don't know. But he's just grew up in a completely different environment than I did. I mean, I'm from the southeastern United States. I'm supposed to be a certain way, and he's from Australia. Obviously, he's a prisoner that escaped. And like, he's had some kind of crazy hard life running through the bush from the British, and I'm pretty sure he's hardened for that and also ready to rip every ball that's possible to be ripped. So, just to get back at the British, I mean, you got, I don't know, people are coming in hot trying to sell him tea and he doesn't want it.
So, yeah, I mean, he hit the nail on the head. It's probably kind of hard to talk about yourself, well, unless you're Steel, but the dynamic between the different pilots, I mean, like, Carlos or Sharpu, his sense of humor is amazing. It's so quirky and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get all these guys together, and Tommy, who is he has an infectious smile, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's I don't know, it's just such an eclectic, interesting group of guys, and you know, we want to get them out there and see, you know, what we can do.
Wow.
Sorry, there was beeping going on during that.
Yeah, that's okay. Was that your zipper?
That was my zipper. I'm sorry.
It's amazing what the microphones and headsets pick up.
So, Chad, does this mean that you're scripting or not scripting the show if it's based off a Top Gear theme?
If anybody knows me at all,
yeah, right.
I do not use a script.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
Many beeps. Beeps are going to be involved.
My favorite comments on anything that I've ever been involved in is people don't like the writing. And I think that's funny because we don't write anything.
Yeah. So how many times at flight tests where you have everything all kind of written out?
We tried it.
Yeah, and
it doesn't work.
No, you're like, no. Out the window. No.
Yeah. So, Andre, did that answer your question?
Oh, lovely.
So are these just going to be like a bunch put together or short clip?
Well, I mean, I want to follow the same development form as we did with flight.
Wow, you okay there?
Sorry, I died. I was trying to, like, run away.
Well, he gets like that if the attention's off of him for too long.
Yes, I explode.
What was the question? Oh, the development process.
Yeah.
We're just, it's very organic. You know, like, we're just putting it out there. Right now we have a Facebook page and a forum thread.
Chips?
No. Why, how do you guys hear all this?
Oh, this is.
What the hell?
Sounds like
we can hear everything you're doing.
I'm going to dive into this box of peanuts. Right now, so you can hear. Like, I'm not even joking.
See, now right. We just need a camera,
hey,
and we got a show.
I don't need sound effects on the computer no more. I got Steel here, buddy. You fix me right
up.
I
am pretty good. I can beatbox. I can make your own soundtrack.
Hey, I saw one of your old videos where you're playing a guitar, and I think you were singing.
FPVing.
Yeah, everybody look, playing a guitar and FPVing. Yes.
No, dude, so that'd be hard.
We're just going to keep it really natural and develop it, you know, through the flight test forum.
Uh-huh.
And the Facebook page. Get input. We're going to try stuff. And if people hate it, we won't do it again. If they like it, we'll do it again. So, I don't know. Seems maybe I'm oversimplifying it. But I think the key is just to get, you know, the interesting personalities together and to uh-huh. have fun and to be genuine and sincere. And, you know, I know I'm going to have my hands full, but, you know, it's... It's a great group of guys.
Uh-huh. Huh, that sounds interesting.
The Facebook page is just Rotor Riot.
Yeah.
Somebody was asking. Sorry, Andre, what were you going
to
say?
It sounds like you're going to have a lot of camera editing to do as well, by the way, the sounds of the production.
I think we might have to introduce a new element that we've only used once on flight tests, and that's the beep button.
Oh, yeah.
I got it. Hold on, listen. What the...
But it wasn't loud enough.
Dang it.
So wait, real quick quiz. Anybody here know which episode we had to bleep?
I can't remember the episode, but I remember.
Is it the one where he was DLG or no?
No, not unless I'm forgetting
no,
one.
No.
Nobody knows? Oh, come on, guys.
I don't.
Is it
I can't remember.
The one where they're on the beach, Josh and Josh, and they crash the plane into the bush?
No, because neither of them would say a
so
bad
this
word.
Is Dave, this
yeah,
is Dave.
Yeah, David's the only one that would say a bad word.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Let's see if anybody on Periscope knows before I give it away.
Someone just JP Pilot 99 said it was David.
Definitely
is
it was David. David.
What
yeah.
is that?
So, nanotech battery episode, yes. That's awesome. Yeah, he
what's
I forget,
the time though?
Oh, I don't remember.
Time code.
5 minutes and 37 seconds.
Yeah, I'm surprised there weren't more episodes where he had to bleep stuff out. Or
oh,
maybe
we
just
cut
it
out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, and I funny. Sent my son over there for 5 weeks.
Oh yeah?
<How's that guy>?
Yeah.
He come back halfway normal? Or
yeah, actually.
He has a bleep button yeah. mounted on his back.
Yeah, David and Christian worked on a new channel.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if I'm, well, I don't even know the name of it.
Yeah,
but it has to do with slow motion.
Oh.
So they, I don't know, they're doing something. But that'll be exciting.
Wow.
Sorry, that lost the
energy. That's all right.
There.
No. That was, so I want you to talk a little bit more too about Rotor. What's
Rotor
going on? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's a movie.
Yep. Finally.
That we released October 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And, actually the release went, I'd have to say, better than expected. Best Buy sold out of Blu-rays in like before the end of the day.
Really?
Yeah. So it's going really well. But anybody that doesn't know about it, it's a community collaborated feature film. And what we did was we created a basic premise to the story, and then we built it out on the forum and created an inspiration piece, like a concept trailer. And we used that to start the conversation and start to shape up what the overall story is and more details. And then what we did was... broke it up into 10 episodes, and each one had beats. So whenever you make a feature film, even though I don't like scripts, I'm definitely a structure guy, and I believe that you got to have structure to your storytelling. So we started with these. I'm sorry, I'm reading comments and talking. we started with these 27 beats, and we broke them up into 10 episodes. And then what we did was we would create an episode. Release based on the forum conversations, and then we would release that episode, and then people would give feedback, and then we would start to develop the next step and the next, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and we
right.
So at any given time, pretty much we were shooting something. All right, you're beeping.
Sorry.
We were shooting something. We were editing something, and we were writing something. And, you know, so we were in all three phases of production. At pretty much any given time until the end. So it was a very, very, very difficult process, but it was just as fulfilling. I mean, you know, getting to interact and to collaborate with the community. I mean, we had some people that just really participated above and beyond what we ever thought they would. We had a community member submit a poem that we actually turned into a song and incorporated into the movie. We had, just so many elements. I mean, the arc pellets themselves, mm-hmm. The science behind it, how it worked. It was really, truly a ridiculous community collaboration, ridiculous in a good way. So I'm really proud of the entire community. I mean, all the people that came on board and helped out, and, you know, it was free to participate, and, you know, everybody just kind of bounced ideas off each other, and really... Everybody I explained the concept to thought kind of like in the industry, they had a hard time with it because they have kind of that auteur mentality mm-hmm. where, you know, the one creative and a pure vision. And I want to say, you know, to anybody that was looking at it that way, it was still the core storyline in the boy who's in the film was still what I brought to the table. And then what I did was allowed myself to open up and forced myself to open up to listen to the input. And I got to say, it's very humbling because there are so many creative people out there that wouldn't normally have an outlet like that. And mm-hmm. it's very addicting. So I'm hoping the film does really well so we can go on and refine this process a little bit, because what we did was nobody had ever done it to this level. I mean, we had an unprecedented amount of community input, and you know, we're all, you know, really proud of it, and we want to do it again and mm-hmm. expand it out. And we picked topic matter that could be expandable. You know, it could be a show, it could be another movie, we could do a prequel, there could be games. I mean,
yeah, that's all what of that. I was wondering if you think this is going to be do well enough to where we might have, you know, part two or
that's the idea. So as long as it gets out there and people share it, I mean, it's in a weird genre. It's this like post-apocalyptic family film.
Yeah,
you know, right. And it's not an action. It's really more of a character piece. So it's a very weird fit in a genre. But the people that it does hit home with, it hits strong. Mm-hmm. And then the people that it doesn't, they hate it.
Right, so right, right. Yeah.
It's funny. It's a very polarizing film. But you know what? I would rather that than everybody to be in the middle.
Yeah.
I would rather it have its audience and its crowd that absolutely loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the other people hate it rather than everybody just thinking it's a five.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's an interesting thing. And I think we're on to something with community collaborated entertainment. Mm-hmm. And well, go ahead.
What I loved was watching your development as you interacted with the community and, you know, the ideas and you know, you expressed early on almost a struggle because there was so much content coming in and you were looking for the filter, I guess you said, and just how you controlled control's the wrong word, just how you absorbed all that input to actually, you know, develop your storylines.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was a learning process every single day. And, you know, it was intense behind the scenes. I mean, I can't tell you how many arguments there were. And I mean, Chris was there.
Yeah.
I mean, he piloted DR1 a couple of different days.
Right.
And, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And, I think next time though, it won't be as bad because we've got a lot of the major components figured out. Now it's just about refining it.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and I can attest too, watching you guys, like there was like in the last 20 minutes, was it Megan that was reading stuff coming in or whatever uh-huh. that you guys would change things like, you know,
we would change it on the fly.
Yeah. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah. You know? It was crazy. And it's funny because, and that's something too, there have been reviews where people, you know, talk about, they can tell that they're just reciting dialogue and that, and it's funny because we had no very, the dialogue that was written was only written as an outline. Almost every scene was improv'd.
Right.
We talked to the actors mm-hmm. and we would say, you know, here's where you're coming from, here's where you're going, this is what's going on.
Yep.
Well, a lot of times we couldn't tell them where they're going because we didn't know. But we would just try to paint the picture of the environment that they're in and the situation that they're in and let them know where their character motivation is and where they need to go. And they would just kind of figure it out from there. And we have some really great scenes in the movie that are just, it's just completely off the cuff improv'd and, you know, I think they feel very natural and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have trouble getting people on board though, to do this? Like, I know obviously was Tom like right on board right away, or did you kind of have to talk
him
into
it? No, I didn't have to talk Tom into it. Tom and I worked together quite a few times.
Uh-huh.
And, the reason that I wanted him on board was I knew he wouldn't give up. I knew he wouldn't quit
mm-hmm.
like no matter what.
Yeah.
And those who have worked with me in intense situations know that it's a little difficult. Because I push really hard.
Right.
And, you know, I want things to be excellent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not realistic, but you know, I think, I don't know if you're going to do anything, I think it's worth doing well.
Right.
And Tom has always, he can withstand that, you know,
I've seen that. Yeah.
He's a very strong individual.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
He's a big guy and
that wears flip flops when it's 20 below.
Yeah. And, you know, so I knew that if I called on Tom, we were going to get it done. And,
gotcha.
And we did.
Yeah, definitely. I had a question. I've kind of been waiting. I haven't downloaded it. Like you said, I was actually going to go to Best Buy. I wanted to buy my own copy.
Uh-huh.
But did the film change much from like the 10 episodes on YouTube to the final cut? Or did you add stuff, take out stuff?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit changed.
Yeah?
We shot a few extra scenes. We... Mm-hmm. got it just a couple extra clips here and there. We did a re-edit, and, you know, I added some music, refined things, sound effects, tightened up the edit. Actually ended up, there's an interesting story, completely took out one of my favorite characters because he was underdeveloped, and it was Bruno Gunn's character.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt, I mean, I got sick to my stomach because I had to make a choice. He, once we cut it into a film, it just didn't, it didn't work because he was one of the extra characters that we brought in, and then right. just kind of painted ourselves into a corner and weren't able to really flesh him out or pay it off. So I had to make the decision, either bring him back in and shoot more, which we mm-hmm. didn't have the budget for, mm-hmm. or, and not because of him, just for resources and logistics. Yeah. Like, we just didn't have the ability to do it. He would have been completely on board. He was, you know, completely willing to come back. And, so I just made the call, you know, to cut him out completely, and I actually felt horrible. Yeah. And I got to tell you, he and I have become good friends since then.
No kidding.
Know? And, you know, when I went out to Los Angeles the most recent time after that, I made a point to take him to lunch and, mm-hmm. you know, and just let him know how much I appreciated working with him. And, you know, I think we'll end up working together in the future, but, That was hard. You know, that's really hard to, you know, work with people that pour themselves into it and then, you know, have to pull them out. But, I mean, and he's in some really great stuff. There's a new movie coming out called Officer Down, and it's based on a graphic novel, and he's got a substantial part in that. And I think it's going to be sweet.
Good for him.
But anyhow, so there's tons and tons of stories. But if you guys buy the Blu-ray or DVD or iTunes, which will be in about a month or so, there'll be all these extra features, and you get to see, like, behind the scenes. And,
excellent. Yeah, that I'm going to enjoy that.
So it'll be loaded with extra content. Oh, yeah.
I might run over to Best Buy while I leave here.
Actually, it's not in the store yet.
Oh, it's not in the store
yet? No, what they're doing is they're going to see how it sells online, and then if it does well, then they'll put it in the store.
I see.
But, yeah, so if anybody out there has watched it yet, mm-hmm. You know, go ahead and post a review if you liked it. And, no, seriously, just any thoughts are good, because that's how we shape future content.
Yeah. Is there a possibility down the road that this might go on, like, cable network or something, like just A&E or whatever?
Yeah, it's tough because there was a lot of options, and we just had to pick – a direction and go with it. Mm-hmm. So we chose to go with Cinema Libre as the distributor. They believed in the film, and they really seemed to pay attention to it. You know, they weren't just running it through the mill. So it's funny because the other films in their lineup really don't match our genre and what we're doing, but they believed in it, and they were very kind and humble in their approach. And you know, so we chose to go with them, and they're great people. So really excited to see what they do with it. But we gave them the movie rights mm-hmm. to sell. Mm-hmm. So now they can sell the movie. Now, if we want to develop a TV show or anything beyond that, we have full rights to do that. We still own the property itself.
I see.
But as far as the movie, they have it for 5 to 7 years, this current version of the mm-hmm. movie. Yeah, and I think so far they're doing a great job. So
yeah. So can I ask, do you think you guys are going to recoup the money you know, spent on the film?
I think so. Yeah. It's hard to say how long it'll be. Mm-hmm. We went way over budget. Yeah. You know, I was way too ambitious for what I wanted to do, for the budget I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're expecting probably in a year's time we'll recoup.
Good.
And if it's sooner, then that's a big success. So,
right.
You know, we'll see.
Good deal. Awesome.
So, Andre, did I answer all your questions?
You did. And I guess I'm, you know, from the creative end of it, I am assuming that your next project, you'll have so many lessons learned from this one, because this was just so much fun to watch develop from my end of it. So.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, and I kind of look at it as, now, to me, my son's in it, so obviously I'm going to be closer to it. And it has a lot of pieces, parts that I thought about, you know, long before going into production. So I got to put my thumbprint on it as well, you know, and I'm really proud of it. And I just feel, you know, I just feel like it's a great project. So at the bare minimum, if people look at it as an experiment that is really entertaining, that's still a huge win.
Yeah.
You know, and
I got to ask you, what is your favorite part or scene from the movie?
Well, I can, that's clear. There's one scene when we were setting up for a planned scene. I was trying to maximize our time while we were out there. So while we were waiting, I called Tyler, who shot it, hit him and the kids, and I pulled him aside and I said, here, I just want to get these shots. I don't know how we're going to use them yet, but I just have a vision for these shots. And I wanted the characters of Kitch and Maya to be just kind of in their environment, kind of thinking or contemplating. So I had Kitch sitting there looking at DR1, and we found this location that looked really great. We just did this slow dolly in, and we did the same thing with Maya's character, Natalie's character, Maya, and where she's kind of working her job, which is, you know, tearing apart drones for their parts. And we just did this little dolly in on her and him. And then later we figured out how to use it and where to put it. And I just, I love that. There's a lot of pieces. I mean, there's actually pieces of the film that I get choked up every single time. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I think, you know, the concept of this boy in this post-apocalyptic world was, I imagined my son being that character. And it's funny, 'cause it plays on a lot of elements that mirror reality. We have, you know, he's looking for his dad, and you know, his dad's friends with this drone hunter guy, you know, so there's a lot of parallels to reality, and we did that on purpose. We wanted to have fun with it and just kind of mirror reality, but a distorted or a, you know, kind of an alternate reality. And yeah, so it just a lot of really great moments. And I know it's not a perfect film, but I gotta say, we did darn well.
Yeah, I was going to say, for what you guys had and to work with, and
I don't think it could have been done much better on the timetable and the money and the resources that we had. I mean, we had just everybody pull together. I mean, we had people show up from Florida for the drone races. Mean, it was just amazing. So I just really feel honored.
Bitter cold.
I was just going to say that.
That was the worst part.
Well, wasn't it in February?
Oh, my gosh. It was like minus. There were days it was like minus 18 and we were shooting.
I know.
And a person from Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was some brutal days
out
there.
That was the worst winter we've had in a while.
Yeah.
So, Andre, you were about to say something else, I think. Or were you?
Oh yeah, my last comment was you're gonna have to start pulling some Stan Lees and doing your little cameos.
Well, I actually, have you seen the movie? Yeah, I mean, you saw the episodes, but have you actually seen the completed film?
No, I have not had a chance yet.
So there is a cameo from me.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, you guys have to find me.
Okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Now I've got to get my hands on it. So.
Well, you'd think it was, you know, in order to be clever and have a cameo, but we were just trying to, you know, make ends meet.
Oh.
I needed another body to do what I needed. So if I did it, it was faster.
Right. So. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because we used everybody. I mean, Tom, our producer's in it. Patrick is our editor. He's in it.
Yep.
Tyler, who shot the film, he's even in an opening scene.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, so at the very opening, you'll see where the opening credits are, and somebody breaks in and steals a computer, breaks the glass. That's Tyler.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, we had community members in it. We had Thomas from, you know, Thomas Bitmata from Australia.
Yep.
Him and, you know, some other community members that have little vignettes in the opening credits. So, yeah, it's just really, overall, it was just a really, really great experience that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that. Like, it was completely taxing.
Yeah.
You were there. You saw me.
Yeah. Yeah, long days, that's for sure.
Yeah, so at the end of all of that, you know, hopefully you guys want to buy the film. And, you know, the best price, I think, is on Best Buy.
Was it $11.99?
Yeah, for a DVD.
Yeah.
Hulu has it for free if you want to watch it with commercials.
Oh, okay.
Or if you have a Hulu account, you can watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably, if anybody's super frugal, you know.
Yeah.
Now, if you're part of the community that was on our newsletter mailing list, you'll get you should have gotten a free download code.
Okay.
So, did you get one?
I don't. How were you? Email?
It would have been through a newsletter.
Oh. I'll have to look. I may have it.
So check your junk mail if you guys signed up for a newsletter.
Right. Awesome. Anybody else have any other questions for Chad?
Gotta eat before I fly.
There we go. I think we're back on, right?
Shit, we may have lost a little bit.
That's okay.
There.
We were just rambling.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so now we're gonna. Now we're back on.
We're back on.
Steele, go ahead and give us a little drop a beat. Is that what you say?
Drop a beat. all right, I got the egg sizzle going on in the background.
That's okay.
Too.
It's a bed.
That is pretty good.
I can't do the clown horn in the morning.
Hey, we just got a question that said, how are we filming with people all over the United States? Well, here's how that's playing out. So Sharpu and Tommy are both in the LA area within like 2 hours of each other. Chad Nowak has been traveling around. He's been in and out of the United States. So we're going to catch up with him. And Steele lives in Atlanta, but is very mobile. So we're all going to meet in the LA area and start with a few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get subscribers and we get views and people want to see more of it, then we can take it up a notch and start talking about relocating people. But if we don't get the, you know, if we're not getting the impact or, you know, the response that we're hoping we do, then, you know, we won't be able to continue. But
right.
The idea, and I think we're all pretty much feeling pretty strongly that we should be able to get the viewership and we should be able to get, mm-hmm. you know, people interested. So,
yeah.
So you guys make sure you tune in when we launch. I think it'll be towards the end of November.
Okay.
So
what islands were you, did you visit the different islands when you were in Hawaii or were you on
the
main?
Yeah, we were on Oahu and Lanai.
Okay.
And then I had to leave before Steele. Where'd you guys go? Kona? Is that the big island?
Yeah, the big island. We went to Hilo and I mean, it's all one island, but they kind of split it up because the climate is so different.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can be on one side of the island and it's like a tropical rainforest and then you go to the other side and it's like a desert.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, I think Maui's kind of like that.
Yeah, and then we spent quite a bit of time in Kauai. Same thing. They got a rainforest on one side. Like, if it's raining on one side of the island, you drive to the other side. And it's sunny. Nice. Yeah, that's just the way it was. So, well, that's we'll start kind of wrapping this up a little bit. I know you're busy and got things, but what's going on with Chad down the road in the future? Anything?
Well, I think this has got me pretty focused right now on Rotor mm-hmm. Riot and Rotor DR1, just getting you know, marketing. I've got interviews that are starting to come in, so I'll be doing different interviews for that. And but yeah, really Rotor Riot is going to be my primary focus over the next few months.
Okay.
And you know, we're going to make it happen.
Steele, you got anything, any thoughts or anybody you wanted to thank or anything of that before we go?
I do want to publicly say that flight test is like where I got 80% of the knowledge I have from RC.
Nice.
So that was when I found Team Black Sheep. I mm-hmm. stumbled upon another channel, which was Flight Test. And that's how I learned like all RC, like how Expo works. And I don't know. This was Josh and Josh days. And
oh,
I
yeah.
was obsessed.
Hey, thanks for that. That's, that means a lot. And you know, it might seem small, but he had his flight test neck strap on
whole
time in Hawaii. And I just, you know, it's great to know that, you know, we were able to help in any way to, you know, help people grow. And it's really great. And
yeah,
thanks for sharing that, Steele.
Yeah, I was super excited to meet. I met Josh and Peter and a couple other guys at Joe Nall this last year, and that's where I got the flight test strap, the neck strap.
Nice.
And it was fun. I was a rebel. I flew in like by the control tower, and apparently we weren't supposed to do that. But
we've never done anything that we're not supposed to do.
No, of course not. No.
Never.
Yes. So it makes YouTube, right? It makes YouTube popular. People are like, oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's watch it 20 times.
Right.
Well, yeah. So, well, yeah. Thank you guys. Thanks, Steele, for being available. I called you, you know, I let you know what, midnight last night or something.
Yeah. It's all good.
Well, since he goes to bed at 4 a.m.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Yep. I had just woken up right when I called you, or you called me.
Oh,
not
wow.
really. It was like 30 minutes. But.
Wow. Yeah, thanks, guys. Steele Davis, thanks a lot for coming on, hanging out with us, telling us your story. And like I said, go check out his YouTube channel, Mr. Steele. The videos are unreal.
Great. Yeah, so. Check out also Chad and Umagod, which is UMMAGAWD. That's Tommy. Yep.
And then, Final GLaDOS and Sharpu.
Yeah. So, yeah, these guys are great and can't wait to get them all together.
Right. I just posted a recent build video for the Alien 5-inch frame. I don't know if anybody's gotten that frame and is confused about building, but I condensed a 6-hour like masterclass build video into about 55 minutes. And oh, nice. And people have like told me they've watched it like 5 times. So. I don't know. There's apparently 4,000 people that have watched 54 minutes of me with a head cam and fast forward.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I saw a couple comments where people were getting sick.
I don't know how many seizures I've induced.
Yeah.
It probably is a few.
But no, that's great. And thanks for contributing like that. I think it's really important for, you know, people to share their knowledge. So
I agree.
That's awesome. Yep. Thank you.
All right. And Chad, thanks again. And I've told you 100 times, anytime you're welcome.
Well, you know, thank you.
You get the time, you come on, hang out.
Well,
you know,
we'll probably be on more.
So. Yeah, I'd. We had some other things, but I'd like to get you back on maybe with Eric and discuss a little bit of the registration stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge topic.
Definitely.
So we'd love to get you back on.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. You've been so talkative
Mike,
today.
Finally, we drug
it. I'm still sleeping.
Yeah. I thought maybe you had that big buck on your mind over there, dreaming about your tree stand yet, huh? So, yeah, thanks, Mike, for come on up, hanging out with us again. So,
all right, Steele, I'll see you in about a week and a half, I think.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, Andre, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Chad.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We're going to get out of here, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.